Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved ones, and welcome to the Voice of Passionate Action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Sri Ramka, and we are delighted you're with us today.
You know, Sri, I am so excited about today's show because, beloved ones, once again, you know, we feature this about once every quarter here at Sri and Kira Live. We're here talking about the need of animals on our planet. You know, we talk a lot about healing ourselves, healing our planet. The entire month of August has been our special series on Heal Our World here ourselves. And the reality is, if all that's going to happen, we must include the animals.
The animals are an important part of our world, our life, and our hearts.
Yeah.
Because who in this world does not love a pet of some sort? And if you're one that raise your hand saying that you don't love pets, then I have an island for you.
Yes, you do. Indeed. And you know, Sri and I are so blessed because, you know, living down here in Guatemala, we really get to live with, cohabitate with a lot of wonderful animals that in other places of the world, these animals don't exist the way they exist here. And in addition to that, you know, being with animals is much more than watching a YouTube video of a funny cat trick or, you know, sending along all these other things. It's about the day-to-day life that these animals have. You know, I always joke with you that there's definitely two worlds happening in our house. There's the world you and I think we're living in, and then there's the world that all of our animals live in.
Absolutely. And anybody that has inside the house pets knows what we're talking about, is that we have two little dogs that seem to think that we're here to serve them.
Well, they let us live here because they like us, but that's another story.
Yeah. We argue about who gets the pillow.
Every night.
And usually if I'm missing a shoe, I know that it's been carried somewhere.
We know where those loving shoe presents are. But, you know, today we are blessed. We are really double blessed because today we are here with, bar none, one of the most amazing people I have ever known. This man is kind. He is generous. He's talented. He's intelligent. And dedicated.
And we're talking about the veterinarian that we were delighted to meet a few years ago when we came to Guatemala. And his name is Juan Pablo Calderon. And we call him JP for Juan Pablo.
Yes.
And JP has been in the business quite some time of taking care of animals. We'll let him tell more about that.
Absolutely.
But the one thing I want to say is that over the years, we have learned that he is authentic. He is sincere about his practice. He's sincere about taking good care of the animals and educating their owners.
Exactly. And going beyond that, I don't know where he finds the hours to do what he does in rescue. And so, you know, without further ado, let's welcome JP. Welcome to the show, JP.
Namaste to all my friends. Aww. And I'm very blessed and happy to be here today.
And we're blessed to have you with us. Now, JP, I have to ask, okay, were you wanting to be a vet your whole life? Like, did you know as a child you were going to be a veterinarian?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I think that I wanted to be a vet since I'm 2 or 3 years old. And my idea hasn't changed or didn't change in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If I weren't a vet, I would be a biologist, but not too different from what I do.
No. Yeah. So were you one of those little boys whose mom thought you were crazy because you brought home all the animals?
Yes, but I had to be careful because normally when I was like 10, I started bringing frogs or snakes or things like that, and that wasn't so happy. My mother was never happy with that.
She wasn't a real snake person.
No, I think that what she could take was a little caterpillar in a bottle, and that was it. But my interest in animals is very wide, and since I remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, JP has the most amazing veterinary practice, and I always feel like I'm walking into Noah's Ark. You know, you walk in, there's always animals running around, and they're always loved. And how long have you been in practice now?
About 15 years, more or less. But now that I work on my own business, I have the clinic that I like, or the way I like it to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I have my animals running around, not that they can go away, but it makes people feel comfortable and they're kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, they are. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you, you know, there's certainly you have a really beautiful practice. And as you all can tell, JP speaks amazing English. And you know, let's just also thank him for doing this whole interview in English. And that in addition to that, you do so much work in rescue. Has that always been? How did that start for you?
Well, I was working in a private practice in the city, and I thought that I had reached the maximum level I could be doing there. Mm-hmm. And then I got together with some people that are mutual friends of ours, and I had the opportunity to work in a clinic in the United States. And one of the things that we decided to do for me to go there is to come back in Antigua and set my clinic with aiming to help the rescue group that was starting to race here, that it's called UPA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are probably familiar already, we're referring to Guatemala United for Animals. And this is the organization that the TOSA Miracle Team supports. And you can go into our archives and look at the show we did with Terry Biskovich, one of the co-founders of United Guatemala for Animals. But the reality is a rescue organization doesn't exist without its veterinarian.
Absolutely. It's a community effort, because to rescue an animal or animals means that not only do you need feet on the street, we need a place to house them, to clean them, and to care for their medical needs. And JP, I imagine as operating a clinic that from time to time people just drop off an animal, is that?
Yes, it's very complicated. Socially, as a vet, you're seen as a good person because mm-hmm. you just like animals. But we have to run a business, and we have to do money to live.
Yes.
The thing is that people think that just by taking the dog or the cat out of the street, they are doing enough. They don't understand that there's many expenses afterwards, just in prevention like vaccination, deworming, baths, flea treatments, and people get astonished at some time when you tell them how much they're going to spend, even if you're offering a rescue price mm-hmm. that we normally do.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And, you know, one of the things also that I know, I mean, let's right now, you know, we're going to talk about guys today. We're talking about dogs. We're talking about cats. There's a huge problem with street animals here in Guatemala. But we're also going to be talking about the exotics and the plight of the exotics later on. So you got to stay with us for this whole show. We have a lot of fascinating information to talk about. So I want to talk right now about a dog that I've been aware of some problems yes. happening with right now, because I think this is representative.
Yes.
And the dog's name is Suki.
Suki.
And
yeah.
who I understand is just a precious, precious babe.
Yes.
And Suki was actually rescued by another, I don't know, an organization or a group yeah. that actually did, I guess I want to use the word, kind of like a bootleg spay.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you allow me.
Please.
I think Suki was rescued by a person mm-hmm. that took it to this refuge because they were doing massive surgical clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 years after, she started developing an abscess in the side that guided us through a long time of diagnosis to go and perform an exploratory surgery. And we found that the surgery was performed to lower the costs instead of using sutures, that they use the zip tights or plastic straps to tie the important arteries and veins that need to be tied during surgery. And that has caused the dog a lot of problem. And at this moment, 10 days after surgery, the dog is struggling. And I will still say that I cannot assure that she's going to make it.
And this is, you know, this just breaks my heart because, mm-hmm. you know, guys, we're sparing you the gory details, but I've been involved with
short,
that.
Yeah, the long and the short of it is in the people that ran the clinic with good intentions to help spay and neuter street dogs, to help reduce the plight of these animals who starve on the streets. They, in an effort to make their dollars go far, they cut some corners and yeah. and did some techniques that at the time they thought might be good, but now we're seeing the results 6 years
well,
later.
And I believe this technique is no longer, it's kind of like outlawed, isn't it?
Yes, in Guatemala it was banned off the country in 2008,
mm-hmm.
but there's still some people that use that shield to promote their surgical campaigns at low cost. But you can also see that there's doctors that want to practice surgery that don't have enough practice at some point.
Yes.
And they want to work on dogs that don't have any owner to tell.
So they're like experimenting on these dogs.
So they don't have an owner to come back and complain later if it doesn't work out.
For example, a normal surgery shouldn't be too wide, too big, unless there's problems. But you see these extensive surgical procedures, and they cause more pain to the animal, and they're not respecting the animal per se. So that doesn't justify practicing on an animal that doesn't have an owner and that cannot speak for itself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's kind of horrifying to think about. And you know, Sri, this really brings us to the situation here, which is education.
Yes. Yeah. You know, anytime we have suffering, whether it's in the human community or the animal community, there's two factors. One is people need help, but more importantly, for the long term, people need education. Mm-hmm. They need to understand the plight. They need to understand what are appropriate, healthy actions to take. And education is, well, in my experience, it's a little tough when dealing with an uneducated indigenous population. Here in Guatemala, we have a lot of pueblos, and all these pueblos, these little villages, there's always the dogs running around.
Many, and there's always one that's pregnant. There's always too many puppies. There's just many, many dogs.
And for the most part, all of them are hungry, but some of them are outright starving and need care.
Yeah.
I think that we have to understand that that's maybe one of the reasons that make people indolent in front of these animals, but many of these people that are not educated at this point for these instances use the dogs, for example, just as working animals. Not mm-hmm. They don't see it as pets mm-hmm. or even as companions, because I would say that at our level, they're not pets anymore. They're a member of the family.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They are a member of the family. Yeah. And I know that with United Guatemala United for Animals, we've also been dealing with a horse like this.
Horses?
Where these horses are just worked to death, literally. And it's like, okay, I'll just let it die and get another one.
Yeah.
And this goes back to that issue of education. And I think, Sri, that we have so much to say that we're just about out of break, or should we continue?
No, we have a few more minutes before the break. And the one thing I want to mention is that education begins by listening to this show. Education begins by sharing this show with others, because there are many people who have the passion to respond. Remember, we are not here to inspire you to do something that doesn't line up with your heart. We're here to ignite your heart. And if you feel inspired by this, then yes, write us and we'll put you in touch with some of these organizations. Make a donation to Guatemala United for Animals. And we're going to talk about that after our station break, how you can do that on Amazon.com.
And it costs you nothing. For things you're doing anyway, you can donate.
You know, and this isn't a plug for Amazon, but in
a sense. No, it's a plug for Guatemala United for Animals.
but truly, anything you need to buy on the internet, you could find on Amazon. And wouldn't it be nice if all of your regular purchases kicked a few cents toward the charity?
And, you know, I just want to share with you, we have so much to talk about with JP today, and we are so glad you're here right now listening to SriandKira.com, Sri and Kira Radio, because the reality is that there is a tie-in. We must remember that, you know, how do you feel when you watch that last polar bear die? Yeah. How are you feeling as you're watching these animals? Or you know, I read this story the other day about how, what was it, a 7-year-old elephant that had the largest tusks in the world was found murdered in the reserve. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm using the word murder. This was murder.
But I agree.
Yeah, see, it was horrible.
Yeah, and just to steal its
ivory.
Teeth.
You know, and then we have the dolphin situation going on over in Japan. We are killing ourselves, my angels. And when we forget that these animals are us, we are all here sharing this mm-hmm. planet. When we disconnect from the gift that animals give us, we disconnect from humanity, we disconnect from ourselves, and we forget that as the animals go, so will the humans.
I believe it was Gandhi that said you can judge the evolution of a society by how they treat their animals.
Absolutely, yes.
I think it's a perfect what I was going to say.
He must have been reading your mind. Well, they say great minds think alike.
You can remind us again later.
Exactly.
And so that said, one of the things that we want to remind you is that we're chatting with J.P. Calderon, who is an experienced veterinarian in Antigua, Guatemala. And here in Guatemala, I think it's very representative of Latin America with respect to the heartache and the troubles with animals, because you are dealing with a country that overall, from a Western perspective, is a developing country. This is a country that has a large percentage of uneducated indigenous population and is seeking to lift itself up. And in spite of that, it's also a country that has all of the modern technologies,
absolutely,
all of
absolutely
the modern conveniences.
Yes.
It's all available.
Yes.
And what we're seeing is that the medical practitioners here are well-trained, they have the experience, and now it's up to those that have the broader view, and I'm talking about folks from Western countries here, to lend a hand to help educate and lift those who are undereducated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we do here in Guatemala, in helping the children of the school at San Antonio Palopo. We buy books for them. We help with the reading programs so that they can lift themselves up. And JP offers discount clinics for the rescue work and educates the dog owners. JP, talk a little bit about that. I know when we first came to you for some needs for our dog, you spent a long time explaining to us the do's and don'ts following a procedure. Are people open to that? Has that been a useful tool for you to educate?
Yes, it might have been the thing that has brought me closer. And maybe even I can tell that many of my clients are my friends now. And that's exactly what the difference needs to be. Because I discovered that the problem between other colleagues was that they didn't take the time to communicate. And communication is the basis of a good and correct relation with your client. And if you are explain your words correctly, there's not going to be any doubts about what the outcomes of surgery or treatment or prognosis can be. Of course, we are dealing with something that cannot be exact, but the best communication, good relationship, sincere words, look in the eyes is going to make you have a better impact in the person that is coming to you, and they're going to believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do. Have a clinic that goes one step farther away.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Really?
And it's so important. Well, right now, it's time for us to take a little break.
It always goes so fast.
And we invite you to take a deep breath, smile, and relax, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The path of self-ascension is a conscious decision that brings your life experience into alignment with soul consciousness, the rare gift of an active approach to living in the heart and manifesting the present moment. Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra invite you to visit Self Ascension Magazine, a free online self-ascension hub that lifts your spirits and frees your heart to soar. On the Self Ascension Magazine website, you can read Sri and Kira's perspectives on what's happening today, discover a daily meditation and weekly practice, watch special video and audio clips, follow Kira Ra's messages from the Archangelic Realm, and learn about upcoming events or courses. Relax and enjoy a visit to Self Ascension Magazine online at www.shriandkira.com. Explore, participate, and unfold this rare treat for yourself. Remember, that's shriandkira.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us. And today we're exploring animal rescue and the plight of animals and exotic birds. And we're delighted to have our favorite veterinarian here on air.
We are so blessed to have him here.
J.P. Calderon of Antigua, Guatemala is with us and has years of experience working with a variety of animals. You know, JP, we've been talking about dogs and the need to educate...
And cats
and yes, to educate pet owners. But one of the things that is unusual about Guatemala that you don't find in going on in North America are free-flighted parrots,
yes,
and toucans and exotic birds, because there's jungles here in Guatemala.
You know, I remember the first time we ever went to Tikal,
yeah,
it was so amazing for me. We were, Sri and I had climbed all the way up one of the pyramids,
yeah,
and I will never forget that for me,
mm-hmm,
one of the most precious moments was when a toucan flew right by us, and
yeah,
I was stunned. I was just absolutely like, oh my God, there was a toucan. Because, you know, unless you live here, yes, that's a very rare event. And then to find out that these creatures that are so beautiful in their natural environment, actually, to many people here, especially in the illegal trade, yes, they just basically represent a paycheck.
Yes, sadly, we are facing, we are living in a country that has not only educational problem, but that led to economical problems for many people. And we need to understand that for these poachers, selling an exotic bird might represent a very important money to their pockets.
Yes.
So what they do is that they go into the forest and they literally steal and poach several animals and bring them to the cities, and they start selling them door by door.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, many people buy them just because they are touched by an exotic animal being taken around incorrectly, but they don't understand that doing this, they are telling these people that they can do business with that. So we normally tell people not to buy animals in the street, because for every animal, for example, toucans or parrots,
mm-hmm,
that gets into your hand, there's an average of 25 animals that died of,
yes,
the same species.
Yeah, no, and this is what I think.
That's just horrible.
It's horrific.
Now, are you talking that these are animals that they killed the other hatchlings in the nest, or
it can happen in many ways, Sri. For example, if they take a tree down, they're not just hurting the tree, they are breaking the nest, they're killing the mother to take the birds. And if, for example, they bring 50 little parrots in a bag or in a box, in a bus that is traveling 5 hours to get to the city,
and there is
many
overheated,
of them die.
They can't breathe.
So,
yeah, they die.
So the responsibility of having one of these birds is higher than just one cinnamon.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we. I want to talk right now about one that you recently delivered here.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Sri. You were going to
mention. Well, no. But one of the things that troubles me is it's a little bit of a catch-22 situation, meaning that the bird in front of you that the street vendor is trying to sell, if he doesn't sell it, well, is he going to kill it?
They usually kill them, don't they, if they don't sell
no,
it? Or do they all
no,
die?
No, but most probably it will die because it's not going to be provided the care. So that's why people end up buying them, because they think that
they're rescuing.
They're rescuing it, but that's not a real rescue.
Right. So they rescue the bird, but they don't solve the problem.
Exactly.
The person who stole the bird earned a month's or more salary,
mm-hmm, yes,
by,
yeah,
that one transaction, mm-hmm, and so now they're encouraged to go out and devastate another,
exactly,
natural family.
That's, you explained it better than I could. Yes.
Oh, no. Well, and here's what I'm really stunned about. Recently, beloved ones, as you know, Sri and I have been starting a bird rescue here in Guatemala, because then what happens is that a lot of people buy these birds and then realize that there's a lot of care,
yes,
and that owning, especially an exotic bird that's coming in from the wild,
yeah,
takes a special... They have special needs.
Yes.
They have special needs. And the food is expensive if you're going to take, yes, care of them in captivity, because of the vitamin needs,
exactly,
and the deficiencies they're prone to,
yes,
and the water and the housing. And this is not cheap. And in this country, it's challenging.
Yes.
I think many people find, I'm sure that goes with all kinds of pets, is they buy a cute little puppy and then it grows up to be a Great Dane and they,
yes,
go, oh my God, it's too big.
Yeah.
And out on the street goes the animal. Or in the case of the birds, you know, the birds that aren't cared for properly can become very noisy.
Because they're not cared for,
yeah,
properly.
Exactly.
If you have very noisy birds in your house, they're not happy. You know, they're not happy, and that's important.
And as a result, then they try to kick them out of the house, so to speak.
Right.
So that's why we're interested in helping educate people about this, and also we have an open door policy for a bird that needs a help.
Yes, and so far through JP's help, we've actually, through our bird rescue, which is part of Guatemala United for Animals, and we'll be talking about that more in a moment, we've had two rescues come in so,
yes,
far. One was a precious little Aratinga conure,
yes,
who was just really, really sweet, and oh my goodness, guys, the home we took her out of, oh my God.
Well, why don't you, maybe JP could speak a little bit. How did that come to you?
Okay, that little bird that we talked in this moment, was sold to an American lady that's supposed to be legal, but it was an illegal sale by a legal shop. Mm-hmm. So it was an illegal sale at the end of the day.
She said they had them kind of like covered in the back. Yeah.
Because in this country, these are animals that are listed in the endangered species, and you cannot do business with them. And I sold it to this lady, but this lady didn't have the least idea on how to deal with the bird. And it's not just taking the animal and giving seeds. These animals need love, they need a space, they need an environment that is going to be suitable. And if you cannot provide one, not to say three, one of those, you're not going to be a successful owner.
Yes, and you know, thank you for making that point, because it is everything. Yes. It's not just any one piece of it. And this little bird was just precious, and we were so blessed, because we actually had several people that immediately wanted her, but the person that she fell in love with, quite frankly, that we couldn't get her away from, she no longer wanted Sri and I. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be with this one person. She was now rehomed, and we're ecstatic. Excellent. She's very happy. Our next
great
rescue,
news.
It is great news, yes. And she's so happy. Our next rescue is the one you're all seeing pictures of right now. You say you'll probably see that picture there of JP with the dog kennel arriving. Mm-hmm. This was with our beautiful new toucan that we're calling Ptah. And P-T-A-H, the original Egyptian god, because she's very full of himself.
Well, this particular bird has a very regal energy. Yeah. Once he got past the fear of having been ripped from his nest and transported to I don't know how many houses before he found his way to us, it took a few days for him to just calm down.
You know, JP, this was the first bird I ever heard cry. Uh-huh. I sat, the day after you delivered this bird, I sat with the bird for 2 hours while this bird stared me in the eye and cried. Okay. And on a very intuitive level, I literally was hearing this bird tell me that, you know, where is my mommy? Where is my family? Where is my home? And I just sat there, just calmly sitting with the bird, offering it reassurance that I am so sorry, your life will never be the same.
And did this help for the bonding?
Yes, very much. I mean, I spent hours, and every single day since then, I spend at least 4 hours at this bird, to the point now where when I walk into the room, the bird is like, mommy, 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 because this bird was, from what I understand, and you need to correct me if I'm wrong, or help me with this. The way that a lot of these toucans come in is that they rip them out of the nest, or they chop down the tree, which is even more devastating, because these are these beautiful natural trees. They tape them up and stick them in paper towel rolls so that they can put them down underneath the bus, because this is so illegal that if these people do get caught, they're going to jail.
Yeah.
And and then, of course, many of the birds die.
Of course.
And then by the time they get where they're going, the bird is traumatized, it's sick,
dehydrated,
hungry.
Yeah. Stressed.
Horrible things. And would have every reason to hate humans.
Yeah.
I mean, every reason to hate humans. Is that, what I was told.
That's a great picture. You described it correctly.
Yeah.
That's more or less what it happens in worse or better cases, but it's always terrible.
Yeah. No, it's horrific. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want, beloved ones, imagine if in the middle of the night, someone came in, burned down your home, stole your children, and then sold them to somebody else. I mean, I hate to put it in that context, but my angels, those of you listening, I want you to really hear this, because that's what we're doing. That's what these poachers are doing. And whether it's an elephant in Africa, whether it's a dolphin in the ocean, whether it's an exotic bird, it's just an energy that's going into the planetary thought body that says that we are brutal beings, versus why not send energy into the planetary thought body that says, and again, this is our culminating show in April about heal our planet, heal ourselves. As we begin to heal these animals, as we begin to express our love with these animals, we are healing our planet. We are healing ourselves. And it takes a lot.
It does take a lot, and it takes action. It asks for action. You know, I want to remind each and every one of you, especially those of you in the United States and Great Britain, that if you are already buying at Amazon.com, just write the word SMILE, S-M-I-L-E.
See me smiling right now, smile.
Next time you're going to log on, write smile.amazon.com, and it'll take you to their SMILE program, which is their way of giving back to the world, and you register your account. for Guatemala United for Animals.
That's Guatemala United for Animals, part of the Amazon Smile program.
And that what it does is Amazon will donate a 1 or 2%, I don't remember the amount, but they'll donate a small percentage of everything you buy to this very worthy organization that's helping to educate and heal. And it doesn't cost you a nickel. It's just part of your regular thing. If anything, what you're saying is, Amazon, you're making too much money.
Give some here.
Let's put some of this to heal the planet and heal the creatures.
Exactly. Because, you know, what I think a lot of you might not realize is, and I just need to brag a little bit about JP here. JP spends way too many hours in rescue for no money. He's not getting paid. But he's just not getting it. He waits long times to get paid. He's basically doing everything for cost. We are all donating our time, our energy, our love, and we're inviting you to help just a little bit.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And by registering with the Amazon Smile program, my angels, think about the energy you sent to the universe. You're creating a miracle. You're creating a smile. And if you ever come down here to visit Sri and I, and we hope that you do at the Self-Ascension Sanctuary here in Guatemala, and just go to sriandkira.com to look at our upcoming programs. But if you ever come down to spend time with us, we can introduce you to JP. We can bring you up to the Guatemala United for Animals facility, because it's not just about donating to an organization. It's about donating to an organization where this organization has no administration that's taking a salary. 100% of this money is going out toward the sustaining of the animals.
There's no administrative cost whatsoever. It's all every penny that you contribute is used for needed supplies and services. Yes. And for those of you that say, okay, I want to lend a hand, I don't need to buy something from Amazon, just send us an email to guest@sriankiraradio.com. We'll give you a PayPal account, and you can make a donation that would make a big difference in the hearts and lives of these animals.
And we also have a whole list of different levels, amounts, starting from $1, you know, $5, all the way up to $100. And what that actually buys. And down here, it buys a lot.
You know, we were talking about the toucan. And for those of you that are going, wait a minute, what's a toucan? That's the bird.
Remember the Fruit Loops?
that was on the Fruit Loops box. This is that exotic parrot-like bird that has the huge beak. And this wonderful beak is multicolored. It's just it's a fluorescent, fun animal. Now, here's the thing. Kira and I have experienced some of the other birds, the parrots and the parakeets.
We've rescued a couple Amazons.
And what we learned in our time with the Amazon parrots is that they're very smart. They're birds that like puzzles. You know, you put a rope that's been tied in knots. You put it in the cage, and they'll untie it.
Oh, yeah.
They love to figure out how to do things. They also like to tear things apart, because that keeps their muscles in their mouth active and their beaks sharp and their hand-eye coordination. I mean, they're like little monkeys, really.
Well, they really are. And JP, with these birds, it would seem to me that because they're not necessarily endangered, but they're at risk of being poached. What is it with the Amazons, the yellow napes, things
like
that?
No, many of them are on a list that it's called CITES, that is the list of endangered species all over the world, mm-hmm. And there are some different stages. But just by being on one stage is enough for them to be endangered. The thing is that this is also cultural. In Guatemala, since the Maya, that it's normal for you to have a bird. And when I ask a person, when they come with a bird to the clinic, I ask, what's the biggest problem? They are normally say nutrition. I said, no, it's against the law. Mm-hmm. They don't know the law. So taking the animals away from the environment is a big deal, and many of them are endangered. But the thing is that every bird that comes to our hands has behind her so many deaths that's the problem.
Yes.
There's a lot.
Yes, yes.
You could sell a parrot in a legal way only if it's the second generation of birds that you have raised your own, and it needs to have a bracelet.
The band, yes.
That corresponds to that. So, mm-hmm. For example, in 10, 20 years, if you have birds, they can be commercialized legally. but not taken out of the environment. That
yeah,
is
you
always
have to raise to the hatchlings yourself. Yeah,
that is going to be always be illegal.
Yes, and it should be. And you know, all you have to do is be down here to see these beautiful birds in their natural environment to know how horrible it is to take them away from it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to live in a country where we have the opportunities to see these beautiful creatures in the wild, and yet that also invites the problem.
And you know, beloved ones, believe it or not, it's time for another break. It goes so fast. And when we come back, we're going to really talk more about how we can heal ourselves and heal our world as we allow ourselves to heal with these beloved creatures we call animals.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Namaste, beloved one. This is Kira Ra, and I am inviting you to take a journey of the soul in the land of the heart. Imagine your life free from chaos and filled with creative clarity. Imagine waking up each day in your private lakefront casita, greeted by brilliant sun, flowers, and birds. It is here that you will effortlessly resurrect your divine blueprint in pristine energy. Yes, I am inviting you to join us for a personal resurrection vacation retreat at beautiful Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. Here, you can rejuvenate your life as you indulge in Tosa Spa cuisine, private healing sessions, yoga, tai chi, meditation, and loving support. Imagine enjoying pure air, zero noise pollution, and endless stars in this ascended nirvana. The time is now to claim your true joy. Learn more by visiting SriandKira.com and just click on the Resurrection Vacation Treat page. Tosa La Laguna, healing lives, healing hearts. We welcome you home.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us, and today we're having fun.
You know, I'm smiling because we're all about Amazon Smile, Guatemala United for Animals, and our beloved friend JP Calderon.
I'm smiling too.
You know, and just before the break, we were chatting a little bit about the toucan and also parrots, the Amazon parrots, and down here they're called loros. Mm-hmm. The loros are the parrots, and these are the birds that are so vocal, not only with their own kind of song, but they tend to imitate the sounds they hear.
Yes.
You know, at first I thought our bird was just chirping, and then I realized he was imitating some sound of a bad automobile.
Yeah.
There's something here.
But now they say, I love you every morning, and they're very, very, my birds say thank you when I give them food every morning. I'm like, good morning, and I get good morning, and I put food in the bowl. Thank you. I love you. So they mimic what they hear. You know, as we're getting so close, the show has gone so quickly.
Well, we'd just like to invite JP to share a little more as we're coming to a closure here and offer your perspectives.
Thank you. I have always liked talking to you because it always gives me peace in my heart. And hearing Kira's words, I have to say that I am very happy to have you and count you as my friends. Because for me, it was very important to find a good place for this toucan. And when Kira says that she spent so much time investing in bonding with this animal, this is what it takes to be a good owner. This is what it takes to have a bird. They have feelings. They don't just need a big cage, and in many cases they don't. They just don't need food. They need love, and this is very important. Good vibes, talking to the bird, trying to understand the feelings, and I was joking with Tree that sometimes he doesn't answer the phone, and I think that he might think that I'm going to bring another bird to the Fleme, but I know at this point that I've done the correct thing bringing to this sanctuary the birds that we've rescued.
Thank you. And, you know, sanctuary indeed. And, you know, one of the things I want all of you to know is that none of this would be possible without JP. And we really want all of you listening to just send your love and appreciation to this man who works so tirelessly, who does so much for so many. He's really one of those unsung heroes.
Absolutely. And one of the things I want to share, I got into this rather reluctantly.
It was me. It was Kira thing.
It was Kira who has always had an affinity for birds. And, you know, here
you guys should see JP's face. He's like, uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of fun. As we got introduced to the Maya and the culture of the ancient Maya, and every person here has a Nagual, a birth animal, a birth protector. And Kira's Nagual is Sakine.
I am a bird.
and Sakine, the symbol, is a bird.
Yeah, it is. It's the Quetzalcoatl. It's the big eagle, the big bird.
Yeah, and so it's no, you know, it's a little wonder that she has this affinity.
I'm waving my wings, guys.
And so
feathers, snake.
Yes,
the feathered snake. Yeah, and so when I began to overcome my naivete, it wasn't that I was reluctant; it's that I had no experience. And when we have no experience with an animal, we are a little indifferent at first, and maybe curious.
But Shri has turned out to be the bird whisperer. Yes. I am not kidding. He is that amazing.
And so I began to interact with one of the parrots, and this parrot, we call her Radha. She just, every time I came into the room, she hopped over in her cage toward me. Mm. And so the first time I put my hand in the cage, was promptly bitten.
And she wanted you to know who was boss.
She did want to know who was boss. And by the way, those bites do hurt.
You know, unlike a toucan, who's a soft-billed bird, and they could bite you all day and it doesn't hurt.
The toucan just can't hurt you. It's like a little piece of rubber trying to bite you. But the parrots have a hard, horny beak, and they can crack nuts with those beaks and jaws.
And they do.
And so beware of your knuckles. So I learned to be very cautious and slow in entering my hand. And when I entered my hand very slowly, watching the bird and singing to the bird as I did so, giving it a little, a little warble.
That's what I do too, yeah.
It made all the... Suddenly I started talking its language. Suddenly it started to respond to me. And little by little, or as they say down here, poco a poco, we became really good friends.
Oh, no, I now call her Shri's other wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to share the delight of when the relationship deepens, of how satisfying and lovely that is. You know, Radha likes to get out of her cage now and again and walk around, so I'll put her on the top of her cage, and she'll poke around and peck at things and look. And one day she was at the top of her cage, and I left the room, and as I was leaving, she flew from the top of the cage over to my shoulder. It's like, where are you going? I'm going with you.
I'm coming with you.
Of course.
And it was so sweet. It was like, no, sweetie, I'll be back. Well, no, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
And so I left her on my shoulder, and we went and did what we had to do and talked to a couple of people, and I brought her back, and I lifted my hand up toward her. She popped right on my hand, back into her cage, not a problem, because the trust was there, mm-hmm. I'm you know, we're buddies now.
I have to say that when I was going to bring the toucan, I think that I perceived a little doubt, because you didn't know what a toucan was going to be. But again, I have to insist, this toucan here is at home. It's great, it's eating, he's happy. It bonded almost immediately with Kira.
Yep.
So, and another thing I want to quote is that everybody approaches the birds with a different sound, and I love free sound. It's different, but that's why they need for them to make them fall in love with you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and you know, I want to reiterate, guys, that as much as we love our birds and as much as we are honored to really offer them sanctuary as the needs come up and as JP calls us, and I promise you we'll answer the phone faster if we know it's another bird, I just want to say more to more people, but they belong in their homes. They belong in the wild. They belong in their trees and their habitat. And when we're destroying the habitat, the natural habitat, we forget that it's not just the trees. It's not just the area. It's all the animals that count on these things for homes. You know, one of the things that Shri and I are very blessed with is that we live high above Antigua, Guatemala, literally in the treetops. Yes. And living in the treetops has been quite fascinating because we watch all the birds in their natural environment, and it's a very different perspective when you're kind of living at their level.
Absolutely. You know, in the corona, the forest, that's where all the action is.
It is, really. You know, the canopy.
And that canopy, you know, the hummingbirds are feeding from flower to flower in these flowering trees. There's little swallows that seem to come in packs. You know, they come in family groups.
Yeah. Well, I've actually been attacked. I've actually sat out on my deck and had 100 come, and they'll land on your hand. They just fly right here all the time. It's beautiful.
And I have to say that the energy, the light, because it's the area where you get light from the morning until the end of the day, you can hear the birds or the parrots that go by that are really noisy at that point, but you cannot hear them making noise elsewhere. You know that birds communicate, but when I'm here, we've been here for more than 1 hour, and your birds have been very calm, and it's a beautiful feeling. Not only to be able to look out the window and see the nature and feel close to it, but also because I think that in this home, you provide a lot of love, and the feeling that I get when I get here is that I get calm. Mm-hmm. I wish I could come more.
Oh, well, you're always welcome, and you know that. Anytime.
Well, we hope, dear listeners, that we've touched your heart in a good way, remembering that we're not alone. We share this planet with the birds, with the mammals, with the fish, and creatures of all types. And it's essential that we remember, as go creatures, so goes the humans.
Well, you know, and I just have to say here that here at the sanctuary, we also have a rescue iguana.
Yes.
And had to invest in a whole new big area for that. We had to build a huge cage. And
I have a heated rock.
We have heated everything. It's just really funny.
It's a fun
special
thing.
Special food.
Yes, special food. Yes, thank you. That's right. JP helped arrange for special food because, you know, even this iguana came to us because it was a question of bringing the iguana to us, or literally someone was eating it. A lot of the people out there will just find iguanas, not a lot of them, but a lot of the indigenous in certain remote areas of Guatemala.
It becomes
eat
a barbecue.
Them. Yeah. And so we have this beautiful iguana that I've fondly named Krishna because of its beautiful blue and green. It looks like peacock feather colors.
Very beautiful coloring.
Stunning. Very coloring. And I just want to share with all of you that as we're coming to a close on this show, to remember that August, that 2014, especially August, was a month that had the second of three large supermoons. Remember, beloved angels, coming right up September 9th is the third supermoon of the summer. We had one in July. We had the biggest of the three in August, August 10th, and we have the third one coming up September 9th. We're in big energy right now. The world is heating up. There is power. There is chaos. There is drama.
And where there's big energy, there can be big dreams.
And big hearts.
And big hearts. Remember, the energy of our outer world can magnify you, can inspire you, can help you accomplish things that you would have done before.
Exactly.
Use this time to make good choices. Use this time to take action in a good way.
And JP, as we're coming to a close, we have about a minute. What would you like to share with our audience?
I would say that about energy, about all the powers in nature that have to guide us to be better persons, and that we're touching just aspects about saving animals. I can tell you that just by doing this in the correct way, we're all becoming better persons. I would say that the energy can be misguided, but good energy, good vibes, good heart, saving any animal that you can. It doesn't need to be a mammal. It can be anything that you take a little stick and put it aside on the road so that it's not hurt is going to make you a better person.
Oh, you're so right. And you know, that warms my heart so much. Thank you for sharing that. And I know all of you listening feel that too.
Absolutely.
Do something today to remind yourself that we are sharing this planet with our animal friends.
And as the Dalai Lama once said, my religion is kindness.
Exactly.
And kindness is the energy that will go around the world and come right back and give you a hug. So, beloved listeners, we thank you. And remember to visit smile.amazon.com and register Guatemala United for Animals. It's easy, and it's a beautiful way to express your kindness and your love in places that you can't even begin to know where the benefit will go, because
exactly.
It ripples and ripples and ripples.
Indeed. And JP, feel our heart and our appreciation. Thank you so much. Will you come back and join us later this year?
Anytime.
All right. We'll have to have an update.
With my eyes closed, because I have my heart open to you.
Thank you, my angel. Thank you so much. And to our beloved listeners, we love you and thank you. Thank you for caring enough to do something. And as JP just said, maybe all you do today is find that little animal on the side of the road and just help it find its way so that nobody runs it over. Do something today to send a signal to the universe that we care.
And beloved listeners, bring your hand to your heart right now. Take a deep breath in. And may you know that all is truly well. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.